Indeed, I believe there is. I do not believe that the scriptures focus on death with a certain morbid fascination. They simply have a different emphasis. Not that there's a denial of death. There's a very realistic portrayal of death in Scripture. But its real emphasis and focus, I insist, is not on the dying process, on death itself. The art of dying suggests that there's a dying process involved. It's not just a single instantaneous moment. And one might explore the implications of all that. But usually what is thought of in terms of life and death matters has to do with that instantaneous end of things. And I believe that the scriptures present before us something closer to this art of living dying as a process and as a quality. There is something about in the scriptures that focuses on the quality of life and death, the quality of dying. Rather than seeing these things as pinpoint moments. And so, in that sense, our culture and the issues before us have challenged and stimulated me to look at the scriptures in a different way, or to ask certain questions and to find certain directions and answers in a way that I hadn't perceived before. So I think there is a positive value in considering the scriptures and what they have to do to tell us about the art of living and dying. Point number two here. The focus is more on the issues of life and suffering now, more on God's answer to the power of death, than it is about exploring what death is. Definition of life and death. I don't believe that the Bible offers a definition of either life or death. I believe that's why it's so difficult for anybody today to come to terms with how do you define this legally, physiologically, even theologically. The scriptures don't offer a definitive answer to that because it's not interested in it. Understanding of what life and death is totally, well, almost totally, by those words, almost totally different in content and focus than what we generally use in terms of life and death. I believe we are caught up in a kind of scientific, or a quest for a scientific definition of these terms. If we have not had much success in doing that, with that expectation, however, we come to the scriptures looking for that kind of explanation, and we don't find it. We're terribly disappointed. So the question is, how does it go? Point number three, I think in the past the questions posed by people had to do more with what the scriptures taught about resurrection and life after death. Now the questions are different. It's not so much life after death, but what about now and the things that lead up to death? Point number five. The prior question I think we need to consider is that the scripture's perspective and definition of life and death involves a theological concern. Once we have that under our belt, then we can examine what it means to choose between the two. Or to ask the question, is there really a choice to be made between the two? And what does that mean to make such a choice? Furthermore, one can ask, is there such a thing as a right to choose between life and death, assuming we know what that is? Points number five and six include that. What is life and what is death? I don't know. I have not experienced death. I have experienced conception, honestly, and life. But even by my experience and self-examination, I really can't give you a scientific or even theological answer the end of something. It's something else. Well, it's a challenging and hard thing to deal with.
And I'm extremely good. The more you go on, when you talk about Scripture not having a definition of death, how would you, or of life, how would you apply that in terms of Genesis 2:7, which I know you don't count, you don't cite in your Scripture pamphlet? What does it mean that Adam is a definition of death?
He's a living creature. Some sort of animation is out there, but define that in scientific terms, in common sense, I think there's a way to talk to somebody who's breathing. Living, he's alive, he's living and breathing. But as the Bible uses the term chayim, life, it doesn't define it exactly. And we know that in the Bible it uses that term in a bigger sense than just breathing and heart beating and mind functioning. There's something more to it. Maybe Jesus means exactly what he says. Maybe we don't have to control.
interpret him. She is not dead. I shall not die. I believe that this is a consistent viewpoint in all of the scriptures. And I've listed a number of passages here that we might consider. Romans 6, you know, the famous passage there, where Paul talks about baptism. He says, don't you know? And he expects people to know this. Don't you know that those who have been baptized in Christ have been baptized into death? We have died with Christ, and we were buried with Christ. And now, when he rose and through our baptism, we rise. So it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I have died. You don't have to wait until you stop breathing to die. That's the major perspective throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Life and death is a matter now. You're either dead or you're alive already. Well, we can look at some other passages. Philippians 1, 20-25. Here Paul is discussing whether he would rather be dead or alive. I don't know which is better. Let's take a look at this. Philippians 1, verses 20-25. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with his boldness, as always, as now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labors. Yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. It sounds like Paul is posing before us a choice between life and death. Paul seems to be indicating that we have a right, or at least the possibility, to choose between the two. What it sounds like when we hear these words according to the definition of today's issues. But upon closer reflection, this isn't at all what Paul is saying. For him, he is saying, as we know from his other passages, for example, the Romans passage, and later when we see the Colossians passage, he considers himself to already die. And so his cessation of breathing, his death in the future, really is insignificant. He's hard for us to choose between the two because there's really little difference except to say that now he has this life by faith and he has eternal life now, but yet there is the greater experience of it, the full and total dimensions of it. There's a qualitatively advancement after his body dies, because then the full significance of Christ's resurrection will be accomplished in his body too. So this is not really a choice between shall I kill myself or shall I let myself die or shall I live. For Paul, that has already been determined. He is already alive. He has died and it's Christ who lives in him. That's what Colossians 2 says. Colossians 2, 1-5, I think this is the passage that I first want to take you to. Colossians 2, 1-5. Nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. Therefore, what? I'd say, Paul, literally. Let us take his words as they read. We have died as Christ lives in us. We have passed from death to life already. And Paul challenges us to think this way. Set your mind on things above. If you haven't raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's the way we are to think of life and death issues. And that goes, it runs contrary to all of common sense. It runs contrary to all of appearances. It does not appear that way. But you don't see Jesus either. He's sitting at the right hand of God in glory. And that's where we have to focus our attention, where Paul directs us. Not only look at ourselves, but the way we look at Christ is the way we should look at ourselves. He has died and risen, so we also have died and risen. I propose to pursue this task, this line of thinking. I propose to continue this. 1 John 3, verses 11 and 16, and chapter 5. Turning our attention there briefly. I think I know what you're going to say. You say, okay, that's fine for the New Testament. Fulfillment in Christ. What about the Old Testament? We'll get to that.
Yeah.
love God, you say you love God, but you hate your brother, then you're living in death. But if you love your brothers, then you love God, and you have eternal life. Not because you love, not because. But you see, it's not a matter of choosing life or death. Cain chose death, and the consequences were that he would live in death.
Joy about it all is not what I find there, but with the realization that my life is
my life is in the hands of God. So each day and each moment that I live, I feel that God has given me another day to live or deserve. That if it weren't for Him, I'd be a dead man. Over and over again. So what we have is not just borrowed time. The rest of our life is not just borrowed.
doesn't mean to choose life. We have a very important chapter here that defines us. It helps define us. Choosing life means choosing Yahweh. It means having Yahweh on your side. It means having the love of Yahweh. It means having the forgiveness of the Lord. It means having Him empower everything that you do so that what you do results in obedience and in love. How did John say it? By this you know that you have life, that you love the brethren. You love one another. You got it from here. Here it comes. Now, for a further understanding of what choosing between life and death is, I would ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Keep the oath that he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out want to release and relieve from that. But choosing to die is not the answer. Death is never seen as a solution in the Bible, anywhere. Even in the sufferings of Joseph, or the sufferings of Jeremiah, or the sufferings of Jesus, the sufferings of Paul, nowhere is death seen as a realistic choice or as a solution. It is always seen as the judgment and wrath of God against a choice that we have made. It goes back to Adam and Eve. It goes back to Cain. And that is, choose death. God has given us a freedom of choice only with respect to death. Life is never an option, a choice, or a right that we can choose. It was not that way in the beginning. Adam and Eve had life. And they chose death instead. And now there is no choice. Even for death, and even for life. The way to eternal life is barred. The Garden of Eden. There's only death. And Cain chose that and lived in that death. But strangely, Adam sees something else. As after the fall and after the judgment, you swell the brow, you'll eat until you die.